Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 28, entitled The Art of Mastering Business Relationships, we chat with business and life mastery coach, Jason Troy. Hi, it's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com. Welcome to the Elite Man Podcast. Our guest today is a business and mastery coach, social engineering expert, and the author of the best-selling book, Social Wealth. Jason Troy, thanks so much for coming on our show today, man.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on, Justin, and having a conversation with your tribe. You know, as a business coach, I love working with very successful entrepreneurs, experts, and executives from across the world, really helping them get unstuck in their life, claim their power back, find their purpose, and really build high-value, deep relationships in their life. Because at the core, relationships are our true wealth, and our success in life is going to be defined by the people that we meet and the people that we have closest to us in our lives. And one thing that people often overlook with that is the fact that every person you meet has a network behind them of people. So you need to value every person you meet, because regardless of whether you get along with that person, really like them a lot, they have a lot of people in their life. And you can't access those people if you build successful relationships with people. And so with my clients, when I first start talking to them about the relationship building process, and before I really go into it, I like to explain to them the structure of a relationship so they can understand when they meet someone, what is it that they need to accomplish. And so you can think about it in three pillars. The first is building rapport. You have to build rapport with people, and you have to find common ground. Because everyone remembers a time when they've met someone and just things clicked and they're like, wow, that's awesome. That person's great. Well, you know what? You built rapport with that person. It's either you found some common background or you created rapport in the moment by having a shared experience that you both really got excited about, were passionate about. So I do this and I tell my clients the question to ask someone that no one ever asked me, but always lights people up, is asking them the question, so what are you passionate about? What projects are you working on that you're passionate about? Because that question gets at the core of what someone really values and really cares about. It also gets to their emotional core. And in life, everything we do is about an emotional state and how we're feeling in our life. And so you need to tap into those emotions. And if you can do that, you will be extremely powerful and successful in your relationships. And you can do this right away. And this question speeds up the relationship building process, because now you're having a conversation that person really wants to have and very seldom has. And most of the time, you get to that question with someone several conversations later that you've had with them. So you can speed up the whole relationship building process by simply asking that one question. And the second pillar is likability. I mean, people want to be around people that they like. Well, the core of likability is really being an active listener, so being engaged with them, and also being present. And present is so key, because most of communication is nonverbal, the 93%, or at least over 90%, no matter what study you look at. So people can tell when you're thinking about what you have to do the next day, that you really don't want to be there talking to them, whatever's going on, because you communicate that non-verbally. And part of that is not only your body language, but is what they call micro expressions, which are around your face and especially your eyes. And you can't see them and you were unaware of them. And they happen so fast that there's really nothing you can do. So all of that tells the other person what you're thinking and what you think about them. So you need to be engaged and be positive and excited about meeting someone. Otherwise, it's going to be a huge turnoff. And that's why that person doesn't want to talk to you. They can also sense when you're not being confident, when you're really nervous, and everything else. And that also is a big detractor. And the third pillar is trust. And trust is the glue that holds every relationship in society together. Well, the key thing about trust is that the quickest way to gain someone trust is to actually give them something first before you take. And you can think about this like a bank and a relationship bank. If you have more withdrawals than you do deposits, you go into overdrawn. And you don't want to start that relationship bank being overdrawn. So when you're asking someone about their passion, the next question you want to ask is, you know, what challenges are you having around that? You know, what help do you need with that? And again, you can ask this question in a personal setting, a professional setting of anyone. I find it's more fascinating to have that conversation and have some chit chat that no one really wants to have. So when you're having this conversation and after you ask them about what challenge or they need help, then you could offer, you know, some advice. You could offer them a book. You could offer them any other suggestion, or you could put them in contact with someone you think that may be helpful for them or several people. And if you can't think of that, you can just say to them, look, you know, let me think about this. Let's exchange contact information and I'll get back with you. Well, that's a great way of adding value to someone in, you know, that you've just met, because they're going to give you their contact information. And the great thing is, if you go back and you can't do anything, that's happened to me before, where I really wasn't sure and I couldn't help the person and what was going on. And so I wrote back and said, you know, I did the best I could. I can't really come up with it, but if I think of anything, I'll let you know. And I got a great email back from an individual, you know, a couple of years ago when I actually did that. So it's pretty positive when those things happen. And so that's a really great way to start building trust, because what happens psychologically when you do that as well is that the only people in a person's life that give before they take and also don't keep a scorecard are people in your inner circle. So they're your best friends, your family, a business partner, you know, someone that you have close in your life. So that's something of high value. The other thing you can do as well that I find is really easy to exchange contact information, even in a personal setting. I mean, I do this all the time. Like, I've gone out in the past and, you know, met women or anything else, and I keep up with what's going on in my city. I'm very social. So I have tons of events, and I know new restaurant openings, what's going on. And so I'll just say to someone, hey, well, there's going to be some great stuff coming out next week or something going on. Why don't we just exchange information, and I'll shoot you a note, and you should come by, whatever it is. Well, that's a great way, because everyone wants something fun to do, and they want to be in the know, and they want to be doing something that's brand new. So they're always open to that. Or they want to know of a charity event or nonprofit or something that's going to be different, that's going to be fun to do. So that's another great way of offering value to people, and doing it in a way that you could just keep doing it and it always works. I mean, because who's not going to offer you? I mean, I guess I've had it happen a few times, but it's rare when someone won't exchange information with me. So, you know, that's the first part, you know, of, I think, the process. And when you can understand that, then you really understand that when you can accomplish all three, you build intrigue with someone. And when you build enough intrigue, that person's saying to themselves, I need to follow up with that person. You know, I need to learn more about them and spend more time with them. And you've also started building a relationship in a great way. Like, you've built a solid foundation for a successful relationship, whether that relationship, it lasts no more than that interaction, or it could last a lifetime. And in life, I find that a lot of my clients and even my friends, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen when you meet that person, right? I mean, I have a lot of girlfriends that are just friends of mine that I've met, like, doing exactly what I've just outlined, and they're fantastic. And having, you know, women in my life has been a blessing, because I understand women way better than almost any man does, because I've had such large groups of women as my friends, and I hang out with women by myself in a group of women all the time, like every single week. And that's really helped me in my life, not only personally, but also professionally. So that's a little bit of an overview.
Awesome, man. So again, the three main points were rapport, likability, and trust. Just to kind of jump back into, I know you covered a lot there, just to kind of jump back into the likability part. Is it possible, hypothetically or, you know, even practically, to actually fake being positive or being present if you're not really like interested or engaged in someone like face to face?
It's really hard, you know, I because people can tell non-verbally. That's the challenge. I mean, and so, you know, one thing, if you're around someone that you really don't like, you can, you know, I've done this and it works. If you start thinking about them in a positive way, or like, I mean, I know that wherever we are, we're going to have some great times moving forward, and it's going to start right now. And that way you can get yourself into another frame. You can also get yourself in more of an empathetic frame if you start to realize that maybe I was wrong about the judgments I made in that person. Perhaps growing up, they've had a really rocky, tough childhood. And so if you start thinking like that, you also can have more empathy and put yourself in more of an empathetic state with someone that you're meeting that you may not like or want to be around. And that also helps you keep more present and active listener in a conversation. And that's communicated to the other person. And so those are like two really quick things that you can do that can create a state change that can be powerful in a moment and help you in that area.
And I like the questions too, the what challenges are you having? Well, first, you know, the what are you passionate about? And then what challenges are you having with that? Do you need any help? It's a really great way to connect with someone. And like you said, it kind of takes over all the small talk and all the needless chat that people really don't want to have, and gets to like the core emotions of what someone really is like about and what they're trying to do with their life. So I like that as well.
Yeah, because, you know, Justin, one thing I found that people say to me all the time, they hate small talk. They hate the chit chat, right? Especially people who are more introverted and don't want to go out and be a social. Like, well, you know, I hate those beginning stages where I'm just talking about stuff I don't care about. And I'm like, well, then don't talk about stuff you don't care about, right? I mean, you don't have to do it. There's no set way. And if you actually start to think about treating someone as though you already know them when you first met them, things go way better. And you build a relationship you really want. And also the other thing is you don't waste your time, right? Because if you ask someone more pointed questions and are more open and more vulnerable with them and actually do it, you're going to find out whether that's someone you actually want in your life quicker, right? So you're not wasting your time with people that you don't want to be around. Or you might say, you know what, that person's interesting, but, you know, I want to keep them as an acquaintance. Well, then that also helps you be much more efficient in your life. And these conversations are way better when you take charge and lead and have a plan going in it. That's the other thing about having conversations and meeting people. My clients are way more successful because they have a process and somewhat of a script in their head. It's not like they're robots, but when you go on a conversation and you actually understand why you're there, you understand the purpose of it, you understand questions that you can use, you can really get through a successful process of doing it and have way better conversations. Like, I met a woman probably a month ago, and I was asking the question, what's she passionate about? And she's mentioning to me that she was involved in, you know, a cancer charity. And, you know, I said to her, you know, that's fantastic. You know, I've been involved in several of them. And then I said, you know, and the reason is my mom had leukemia growing up, and, you know, she almost died if it wasn't for getting experimental drugs in Sloan Kettering in New York. And I told her a really brief story, not a long story, very brief. And because of that, she was like, well, my sister has breast cancer, and she was telling me the story, and she was getting upset, and I hugged her, and it was a great conversation that I would have never had. And then she introduced me to a bunch of her girlfriends and said, you have to meet Jason, he's an awesome guy, and blah blah blah. And I was like, well, that's about the best introduction one person could ever have, right? I mean, and so those were people that I met. And again, if you meet every single person, whether it's a woman or man, I enjoy meeting every single person, because the reality is, you know, the people you meet could be, you know, a potential romantic partner. They could be short term or long term. It could be a business partner. It could be a supplier you need. It could be someone who could open doors for you in life. It could be someone you travel with, run a marathon. You don't know. And you need very diverse, wide group of people in your life, because if you look at the people that are super networkers, that have all a pretty significant vast network of people, one of the things that they will tell you is that the asset in having a diverse, wide background of different people is it challenges your thinking and it challenges the conventions that you put in your life and the comfort zones that you have to start thinking differently about it. And that helps you supercharge growth in your life. And it also helps you uncover the blind spots that you can't see or anyone can't see.
Great. Jason, you talk a lot about becoming instantly irresistible to others. And you can even tell, like, in your speech and everything, you're just very energetic, very lively. People want to listen to people who speak like that. Like, how do you get more magnetic and influential and even likable, like you mentioned earlier? Like, is that something that anyone can harness?
Yes. I mean, anyone can learn, because social communication and emotional skill sets are all learned behaviors. Anyone can learn them. I have clients that are introverts that are way more successful than extroverted friends. And, you know, yes, growing up, if you grow up in a more social back, you know, family and background, of course you're going to have some advantage. But that's not a significant advantage, because those skill sets you have to learn by practicing them and doing them and investing in them, because you're not learning them in school. No one else is going to teach them. So you need to find mentors. You need to read. You need to take courses. You need to take other things and really see how the world works. And then you got to go out and practice it all the time. And that's a key part of it, is practice and practice. And so one of the things that I found was when I first moved to Dallas, I didn't know anyone here. I mean, the only person I met or I knew was my mom, and my mom didn't help me meet new people. So that wasn't an asset to have. Great to be my mom, but she wasn't out there, you know, introducing me to people that I wanted to meet. So, you know, I met a lot of people, and I've always been really social. But one of the things that I really did here that I did in other cities I lived in, but not as much, is I leveraged the power of being in groups to really practice these behaviors. And I went to the groups that mattered. I thought to myself, okay, so where are the social influencers, mobile people, people that are opening up, you know, new restaurants, bars, anything exciting that I'd want to go to, and also the people that are giving back that are successful professionally. And those people are involved in charities. They're involved in nonprofits, meaning museums, opera, symphony, and other things. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And so I started to go to these places by myself. And I found in those groups, it's easy to meet people, because everyone is going there for a reason. And everyone is there going there to be social, right? Because if you go out and meet someone, you know, you go out to a bar, you go out to a restaurant, I mean, you go out to anywhere, like, you don't know why they're there. I mean, they may not be there to be social, right? So you're going to have really varied success. But in an environment like that, almost every person is coming there and is open. So their defenses are down. You can practice talking to people and getting to know them, and stuff like exchanging contact information, you know, introducing people to other people, which is the number one social thing to do that will boost your life. And other things. And so it's really easy. And I've had clients who have been, and even friends that are really socially awkward and extremely introverted. And so, you know, for someone who's saying, well, you know, it makes me nervous to go to organizations or places like that by myself, well, I say, here's an easy thing to do. So you contact the organizers or the people in the organization, whatever it may be, and you ask to volunteer at the event. And I like to volunteer for the first check-in time, where they're actually checking in people, because then you get to see the room beforehand. And for people that are more introverted, they like to be more familiar with their surroundings. So you can get there before the event starts. You actually are meeting everyone that's coming in the door. So you're saying hi to them in a situation where they actually have to say hi to you, because they have to check in or pay or whatever they need to do. And then when your shift ends, you get to go in the event for free. But more importantly, now when you're meeting people, you're meeting them the second time. And that helps people get over social anxiety and to meet people a lot quicker. And so that really helps. So the first part of it is you have to build up these skill sets. You know, to build rapport with people and be more irresistible, you have to be, one, you have to be passionate and energetic. So if you're not excited about your life, you know, it's really important to start really getting that way and, you know, doing, investing in yourself and really understanding what your purpose is in life. But then a lot of these are important skill sets. You know, one of the things that I found out early on was I was meeting all these people, and after maybe meeting them a few times or less, they were introducing me to people and their friends, and publicly is like, you should meet Jason. Jason's a great guy, or Jason's the mayor of Dallas, or Jason is blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself initially, like, these people either have to be lying, or there's something wrong with them, or like, or I must be crazy, because how are people telling me this when I've met them? And literally I knew how much time I spent with them, and these people were doing it under 30 minutes of meeting them. And I asked way more questions than I tell people information. So they knew very little about me. And so I realized at that point that when you start practicing these skill sets, you can get way better. And the easiest one to work on is listening. Be an active listener. Ask people questions, right? You don't need to interview them, but people love to talk about one thing, especially that's themselves. So if you actually stop worrying about selling yourself and actually just ask questions, you can be irresistible to people, because the only people that ask people questions like that are people in their inner circle. So psychologically, people start putting you in their inner circle when you're only an acquaintance. And that makes you someone that they have to get to know and that are excited about. And that's really a high value place to do. So the first thing is really doing that. The next thing I would do, and I've done this a lot, and I was out last night with some friends at a new place that opened up, and I had a bunch of people run into me that were like, hey, Jason, it's great to see you. And they were introducing me to other people. And a couple of my guy friends and girlfriends were like, well, how do you get people to introduce you to other people all the time? And I'm like, well, because I do it to start with. So one of the things that you can do is introducing people to other people. And how you do that, I'll give you a specific example of how to do it. And I've done this one way probably at least 100,000 times. So, and that's not an exaggeration. So I'll be up at a bar, and let's say I'll be anywhere. You can name, it could be at an event, it may not be. And I'll say hi to a person on my right, whoever it is. So it's gonna be a man or woman, I don't care. I'm standing there anyways, I might as well talk to someone. And I ask them, hey, how's everything? How's your week going? What's on your agenda? And they'll say, blah, blah, blah. And there'll be someone on my left, and I'll literally have my fingers, and I'll point at both of them. I will then cross my arms, keeping my fingers pointed, and I will say at that moment, hey, do you two know each other? You should meet. And I don't know either of their names. I don't know either of them. And you know what happens? They meet, and a lot of the times they'll have a great conversation, and they'll be having a lot of fun, whether it's a man or two men, two women, or, you know, a mix. And the one thing, too, when you do that is if you introduce other men to women, they automatically like you, because there's no guys that do that. And it's the same thing with women. And so, and actually with women, it actually helps you, because a woman thinks about it for herself in her head. Like, what guy would do that? He must be really confident. He must be really successful in whatever he's doing. And he's, you know, got something that I need to, you know, I need to find out more about. And I've had it often where I'll go out and introduce a woman to a guy, or introduce a woman I don't really know to like my friends or something like that. And she'll often come find me wherever I'm at when I'm out and about. And it's pretty funny, and actually come and try to talk to me and get to know me. And I didn't do anything. All I did was just introduce her to someone and literally just walked away.
Basically, all it takes really is practice and going out there and doing it. I started off actually like getting into everything as a dating coach, because my background is incredibly shy, introverted guy. So growing up, it was tough for me to get a lot of dates and everything. Huh. And like you said, it was all about going out and actually practicing. So I'd go up, and when I tried to get my dating life down, I approached all kinds of girls and put myself in all kinds of social interactions and everything. And the number one thing that I took away from all that, aside from, you know, actually getting to be, you know, successful with girls and getting that part of my life down, but the number one thing I took out was actually being able to be outgoing and social, even though I'm an introverted guy, and in yes. times, you know, when I want to be. So if I'm going out and I'm going to a social place, even though I'm very shy naturally and introverted, I can actually kind of snap my fingers and just put myself in a situation where I'm going to make myself be social. And so I I totally agree that you can totally practice this and actually work on it and harness it, because I know firsthand, and I do it all the time when I'm out in a social situation and it's not my nature to actually want to do so.
Yes, and the important thing that you just talked about is an extremely important concept. And this is something that I talk with all my clients with, and even my friends, is that successful people take leaps of faith without having the evidence. And even without having a grain of an idea of if it's going to work or not. Because you never will be successful in life if you can't do that. Because most people are waiting around for a sign, right? So in terms of like men meeting women, they'll be out and they're like, well, let me get a drink, or let me get warmed up, or let me walk around the room. The reality is that it doesn't matter if you do that or not. You need to take action. And because the courageous action in taking that leap of faith is what gives you the motivation and momentum. And so when people don't do that, they don't get excited. And every time, you know, one of your listeners out there is thinking about something when they felt really excited and really pumped up about it, they took a step into uncertainty. They saw fear as a compass and actually went towards it rather than running away from it. So if you just keep doing that, what you start to learn is that you create the evidence you need by taking courageous action, not the other way around. And so what you did was created the evidence. And then you started to look at that evidence as all positive, because everything you do leads somewhere. And I've interviewed and asked a couple hundred really successful entrepreneurs. I asked them a question. I said, how out of every 10 new things that you do, how many times do you fail? And they said to me on average about 5 to 7 times. And I was actually really surprised at that number. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that seems awful high. And they were like, well, no, it's every time I do something, most of the time it's not right, but I learn a lesson. And that lesson guides me forward to where I will be successful. And it also told me that almost all the time that they're not thinking big enough, and the success that they have in whatever they're doing is typically way bigger than they originally thought. But they hear and are aware of that lesson, and that's really important. So I imagine what you did was, it's not like every person you talked to was all excited to meet you, and especially every woman, because that's not possible. But what you did was, you gathered the evidence that if I go out and talk to 10 people and, you know, 3 or 4, whatever it is, really are more engaged and like the conversation we had and are intrigued, that's really successful. And it's not focusing on the 6 or 7. And that's the problem with most people. And they look at failure in another way, right? And that's what successful entrepreneurs look at when they look at success. And so if people start thinking like that, then they're going to realize that every time they look at failure, it's actually not failure, it's an opportunity. And that opportunity is to get where they really need to go.
Absolutely. I like the comparison I can see the comparison from dating and, say, approaching women to success in business. And that number, actually, 50 to 70% of, you know, all the endeavors that they try out actually failing actually corresponds very well with, like, approaching a woman. Because,
yes,
you know what I mean? It's like probably 50 to 70, maybe even more, 5, 7, maybe even 8 out of the women you approach are probably not going to be interested, or, you know, they're going to be taken, or there's going to be some excuse for legitimate too, for why they're not interested in you or pursuing something with you. But, you know, it's the 20-30% that's all that matters, right? Like, you're not looking to date every single woman you meet. You just want the one, and you just want to be successful in your dating life, and that's all it really takes.
Yes, and that's a really important concept to take for people to really get in, is that, you know, at some point, this is a numbers game. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I don't like to depersonalize it, but it really is. And so you need to talk to a lot of people. You need to meet a lot of people. I mean, that's why I have so many people in my network, right? Because I realize that I have really good friends and acquaintances, and I keep them there. And I realize that in life, those people are going to change places in life. And I had a friend of mine now who I met her like probably 5 or 6 years ago. And now she's like a very good friend of mine. When I first met her for probably 4 years, I mean, she was like a distant acquaintance. And then I ran into her somewhere else and we had a great conversation. And, you know, we just spend time just out as friends and doing stuff, and it's been of high value in my life. So that's, you know, you're going to have it. And I think if you also look at every situation and don't get so myopic about what you're going, and I think that's a problem, and it happens with a lot of my guy friends going out, that they'll look at a woman just as a dating opportunity. And I'm like, look, you might meet people when you're out, and that could be one of your best friends. And remember, every woman has women as friends. And so you're missing out on that opportunity. And this woman could be really successful. It could be someone who is, you know, in business that could really help you. So why would you want to eliminate that opportunity because you're so focused on one thing? That's not really being efficient and effective. And people who are great at building relationships and are successful in their life, both financially and personally, they get this concept, and that's how they live it. And that's why they are successful, because they take opportunities every time they have them, and they don't think so small about what's going on in the world around them.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
Switching gears a little bit, there's a lot of business guys or entrepreneurs that often get stuck, and they kind of lose path or lose track of what they want to do or where they were heading. How do you help these guys fix that, and how do you help them find their purpose, you know, and get back on track?
Well, one thing that I've noticed with successful people, and it's in every single one of my clients, and it's something I really just never saw, and then it just was an epiphany that I had, is that very successful people in life have gotten there through a combination of many things, and one of them is hard work. I mean, they've worked really hard at getting where they're getting, and the problem is when you get to that point, wherever it is, the next step forward, hard work is not going to get you there alone. And you got to realize that being stuck is a factor of you not being aligned internally and externally, and also not having what people would call the soft skills, right? Relationship building, leadership, influence, charisma, social skills, etc. And those are the skill sets that you need to have, and that people at that level don't have. And that's how you separate yourself from everyone else and stand out. Because working hard alone will get you to some point, but you'll stop. And the competition on top, when you become more successful, is actually far less, because people don't develop these skill sets, because a lot of people have stigmas around, oh, well, why would I need a coach? Why would I need to learn these things? You're either born with them or not, right? And they have outdated concepts and models, and just they have absolute certainty around things that are not true, and they've created it. So they stall out. And this is why there's a lot of people that are very successful that, you know, turn to alcohol and drugs. They'll have extramarital affairs. They'll be womanizing all over the place, and they'll be spending money, and then they either go broke or have some other calamity hit because they're so bored and they don't know what to do. And it's because they're not tapping into their purpose, which is more of an internal facing than it is external. So when it comes to purpose, one of the things I help my clients with is really understand that the problem that they're having, and people who are listening to this are having, is that you've been told and read that your purpose is something external, right? My purpose in life is to go help entrepreneurs do X, Y, and Z, or my purpose in life is whatever it is. And that's not true, because everything external to you will let you down, right? Every relationship you have in your life, no matter who it is eventually is going to let you down, because they're people and they're not perfect. And any job you have, anything else, will also let you down at some point too. So when you keep putting things external to yourself, you're needing that validation, and eventually that won't be there. So then you feel stuck, rudderless, upset, mad, hurt. And so what you need to do is think about the purpose as an inward facing thing in your life. And the purpose is really inside of you. And I've spent a lot of time talking to a lot of people, having my own coaches talking to them. And I really realized that your purpose is more about your emotional states. And you have a couple emotions, and it's, I work my clients identify two of them, but it can be more, that you need to have filled in your life and that you need to have. And when you have those, you feel the rest of your emotions fully. And when you don't, you don't, right? So mine is connecting and belonging. And when I was working in corporate America, you know, I was really happy and really excited when I'd be working with CEOs and other successful people on road shows, or I'd be out there meeting with the media or analysts, and we'd be getting ready for that. But when I had to go back and I'd sit in my corporate office and do, you know, typical things, I got really bored and I got stuck and I got really unmotivated because I wasn't connecting and belonging anymore. I was actually not getting those needs met. And so everything in my life really didn't work. And so as I made these realizations, I just, you know, I mean, I started to do coaching, but then I went full time in it. And I was like, I have to follow my passion because this is who I am. And you can't change who you are as a person. You can change behaviors. You can't change who you are. And so once you can figure this out and tap into it, you're really off to the races.
You kind of touched upon it right now, actually. What were you doing before you became successful? Like, did you always have this kind of drive in you to like help others and everything, and just kind of, you know, be an entrepreneur and everything, even when you were in corporate America? Or was it kind of just something that happened along the way and then you fell like down that path?
Well, helping others, yes. I would say that I've always loved to learn and invest in myself, and I've always found that to be something that's always been of interest. I mean, I went to law school and I have my master's in communication, so I mean, and I got them at the same time. So if learning has been, you know, a lifelong thing for me. But one of the things, when it just came, you know, across, I was working as a marketing executive, and, you know, I had two friends who asked me to help them with their friends who were moving from one big city to another, and they were really actually scared because they were introverted engineering type guys, and they were, I think, like about 30 years old, and they just didn't have no idea like what to do and how to like basically restart their lives for a new job. And so I was like, I'll help them. I got, you know, I got on the phone and I basically coached them. At the time, I didn't really think of it like that because I was just helping someone else. And it got so successful in what they were doing after 3 months that they had better lives than, you know, the cities they grew up in. So I was like, wow, this is like something there. And so then, you know, I started to outline a book, and then I went to someone who's a friend of mine at the time and said, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And, you know, I'd love to work together and do some stuff. And I was just dabbling in it, right? I didn't really know if it was going to work, and I didn't really want to go commit all in because I had no idea if I really wanted to do this or loved it. But I was like, here's a concept. And so that was like my first book that I put out was that, you know, and I pretty much wrote the entire book, and then, you know, had the other person kind of add some stuff in and put their name on it because I didn't have a business. And I was like, well, I've got to start somewhere. And so I started there. And then, you know, over time I was doing it on the side, and I was like, you know what, I just need to go out and I just need to do this. And I really need to do it on my own because I want to have my concepts and the things I want to do, which were not the same as the person I was working with. And so I decided to take that leap of faith. And, it's starting a business is a pretty rocky place to be. And it's a lot of ups and downs. You know, but if you believe in yourself, you invest in yourself moving forward, then great things happen in your life and you learn really valuable lessons because you have to take some hard looks in the mirror, which is very helpful because you get at the core of other issues that are going on and you get at your blind spots, not alone, but you start to do. And then you go and you find coaches and mentors and other people that are really successful. And, you know, the last thing I'll end with is that on that topic is, you know, I've been out trying to understand how are people financially successful and fulfilled, because there's so few people like that. It's a couple percentage of people out there. And so I've been thinking about different models in my head to wrap around how do I need to kind of fashion my life moving forward in. And I was out in LA a couple of weeks ago at two separate conferences, one for high level executives that I was fortunate to get invited to. And the other one was when my coaches had like a 4-day intensive seminar on personal development, and I ran the models by them. And the model is basically three pillars. And the first one is you need to have mentors. I mean, you need to have people that have gone down the same road you want to go down. They can help you get past obstacles and really find the quickest path to success. But you can't always find them to do it for free and help you. I mean, it's great to have them, and I have mentors in my life, but you also have to hire and pay coaches, because some people you just can't get access to, and they have valuable information, and it's really helped me in my business. I mean, I'd never be where I am today if it were not for investing in myself. And I found that when I talk to people that are both financially successful, fulfilled, people like that are spending 10 to 20% of their income on investing themselves, whether coaches, conferences, or classes or something. So it's pretty significant. And the second pillar is having a support network and having a great one. And the support network is your family, friends, and, you know, maybe an entrepreneur group. It could be a mastermind. But you have to find people that support you and your dreams, and you have to get rid of negativity and people that are not on the same path with you in your life. Yes, you can have them as acquaintances and you can have them, but in your inner circle and spending time, it isn't. And so the third pillar is one that you build off of the first two, which is building systems, structures, and processes in your life and relationships. And then you can really drive your life. And when you have all three of these working and optimized, you can go really fast and have exponential growth in your life and really make money, but also be fulfilled, which is something, again, it's rare when that happens.
So what were they again? Having mentors?
Yeah, having mentors and coaches in your life, and then having a support network, and then building the system, the processes and relationships in your life consistently. And when you can get that whole machinery moving correctly and optimized, you can then really go running off to the races and being really successful. And it's pretty fantastic because, you know, just an example, I was on a went to a mastermind group in May that I had a friend invite me to that's really high level and very expensive to go to. And, you know, one of the things that I walked out of there and I felt really good about was the fact that other people in that room are entrepreneurs, understand what it is to be an entrepreneur, the risk involved, the ups and downs, the personal sacrifices, you know, sometimes the tragedies are associated with that. There's an empathy and feeling like you're around like-minded brothers and sisters and people that you just can't find. And that, you know, I love my friends. I have amazing friends. But, you know, when it comes to being an entrepreneur, they don't get it and they don't understand it. And I understand that, but it's also difficult because you have to find that support with people, because otherwise it's really, in many ways, feels like you're alone. And that's not a good feeling to have.
Great. Can we talk about your book, Jason, Social
Yes.
Wealth? Can you just kind of tell our audience, you know, what that's about and, you know, why you wrote it and how it actually became, you know, the best-selling book that it is?
Yeah. So when a couple years ago, I started actually doing a podcast and I was talking to people, and I wanted to talk to really well-known people about how they were building relationships and how they were being successful in their life and their mindset. And I was like, you know, if I do some massive level immersion and I can talk to some amazing people, like some book or some idea will come out of it. I mean, I had no idea of the book that I was going to write in my head. I didn't even have the concept. But I decided that the best place to go is just massive immersion, because something's going to come out of there. And so the idea for the book emanated out of doing all that work and talking to people and really then taking an inward look at me and saying, hey, what am I really good at? Right? I'm great at building relationships. I'm great at human behavior and social engineering. And so, you know, why not write a book about it? And then I looked at the books out there and I spent a lot of time going through and buying them and reading. And I found out that there really wasn't a how-to guide. I mean, I talked about some things and how to build relationships, but there was a lot of misinformation. And there were a lot of people that were telling you things that actually weren't true. And I have a network in Dallas of, and I counted it, of 15,000 people that I know in the city. And I am out all the time. And every week I meet hundreds and hundreds of people. So I know people. And so I was like, I want to get people a blueprint that they could take this book, use it personally and professionally, never interact with me in any way, and be way more successful. And I wanted them to be able to go chapter by chapter and walk away from it and be able to immediately implement it. So I really cover everything from the psychology, understanding why people do what they do, and then giving people step-by-step instructions in the book, exactly what to do, where to go, what to say. I even go through things like style, even for men and women in the book. And I go through things professionally too, step by step, that people could do, like how to leverage conferences. I mean, there's so much in the book, and I want to make it really be a guide and not have fluff in the book. So I really took a lot of time to carve out and get rid of anything that wasn't really meaningful in the book that you couldn't immediately use. In fact, I cut down writing, even putting some stories in the book, because I didn't want stories to take away from people taking action and getting bogged down and that, oh, this book is 250 pages and I'll never get through it. So I really focused on that. And then, you know, when I was actually marketing the book, the other thing about it, because everyone has a book inside of them, I believe, and I think it's important for people to actually go and write it. But the important thing is people got to read it. So you got to understand how to market it. And so I really researched and spent 6 months just finding who were the people out there that really got it and that were more on the cutting edge. And, you know, one of my friends now, his name's Tyler Wagner. He's, you know, amazing at this. And he helped me work on this. And, you know, I actually met him through paying through a course. And there's another gentleman, Chandler Bolt, is really great too. And for both of them, I learned a tremendous amount and it really helped me. And then, you know, I had a couple other friends as well who were successful and they took all that stuff and just marketed it. And it's been, you know, it's doing really well. I looked on Amazon today and I think it was down to like, you know, number, you know, 15,000 of all the books on Amazon. I mean, it's selling pretty well. And this is back from launch in September. So it's not like there's, you know, new sales momentum. This is just continuing people buying the book because they're getting high value out of it. And it's, you know, so that's kind of how I did it. And I would encourage people if that's what, to write it, but then also invest in marketing it. And a lot of the marketing you can do from yourself. So it's not cost prohibitive. It's just, you have to get the information.
Great. And was that independently published or does it have
yes.
a publisher?
Independent. Yeah, I independently published it. And the reason is that I didn't even try going out to a publisher because I had talked to quite a few people that were either small fishes in big publishing houses or in smaller or medium publishing houses. And people didn't feel like they got the support in the organization. And they were also handcuffed in what they could do because they didn't own really the book anymore. The publisher did. So I had so many people that were dissatisfied with it that I was like, there's no upside at this point, right? I mean, if you have a well-known brand, of course there's an upside to having a publisher like that, but in many ways it's not. So the best thing to do is just go out on your own and then create it. And then someone may actually offer to buy the book from you and take it. Or the next book you have, if you go and you want to get a publisher, you now have a successful book that you can market to them and saying, hey, look, you know, I've done this pretty successfully. You know, if I had some more help and ammunition, just think what could happen, right? And then you've just got to figure out how to get manuscripts to them and find someone who's really successful at doing it.
And Jason, what's the best way to, you know, reach out to someone online? I know you have like a lot of these great in-person skills, as far as like being social and everything. And, I'm sure you do a lot of networking online, especially nowadays. I mean, everyone has to be, any entrepreneur really has to be online, you know,
yes.
making those connections. What's the best way or tip that you can recommend for people to actually reach out and make connections online?
Right. So I'll cover the personal and then I'll get to the professional. So the personal one that's really helped me is just, it's pretty simple. The people don't do this. So when I met all these people in groups, right, I cannot spend time one-on-one with them. And in fact, it's the most inefficient way because when I meet someone, I don't know whether they're going to be a good friend. If I meet a woman, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to spend more time with her. Right. I mean, I don't want to have crazy people in my life. And I've had friends and I still do. Last night I got a text message from my friends who met a girl and it was pretty, you know, not a good situation. And it's because he overinvested and didn't know the person and spent way too much time. And that's not really ideal. So what I like to do is when I meet people, I like to then invite them to something I'm already doing, right? So it may be, you know, a new opening of a place. It may be, you know, a charity organization. It may be a happy hour. It may be a gala event. It may be something else. And if you go on Facebook and just friend the person and then invite them, if they show up, they show up, right? I mean, that's an amazing thing about it. I mean, you can even contact them and say, hey, I invite you to an event. It's going to be a great time. And you know, a lot of people show up at the stuff I'm doing. And what happens is when I'm driving people to do what I already want to do, I then can spend a little bit of time with them, get to know them, right? and then see if I want to spend more time with them. But also, I can introduce all these people together. Well, that makes you the hub and other people the spokes. And the most valuable place you can have in the world is be a hub, because you build social capital and influence, because everyone assumes you know other people. And no one does this. So therefore, they put you in a place in their mind that they don't put other people in. And it really has served me well. And I do it all the time now. And it's a way of staying in contact with all these people. I mean, I can't keep in contact with thousands of people. And there's no way. It's impossible. So I don't try like that. I basically get people to go where I want to go. And then I'll show up at other events and I know a lot of people are going to be there. And then you can do that and really meet a lot of people. So use Facebook and events to help drive people to where you want to do it. And honestly, I've done this in the past too. Like, maybe there's women that I like or I'm sort of interested to. Invite them all to an event. Like, why does it matter? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, be efficient. Why would you want to be inefficient in your life, right? Invite them all and do what you want, right? I mean, it doesn't mean you have to do anything with anyone there, but you can spend more time with them and see if you really want to get to know them. And then it's also, you're meeting them in a point where you're more confident. They can see that you have social status and social capital because you have friends around you, which then immediately raises how they view you. And that helps you a lot in the relationship building process. So that's on the personal side. And the professional side, what everyone should do is, right, get 20 people that they really want to meet. I mean, it could be well-known people down to anyone else professionally that they want to meet that they think would be of value in their life. And then you have to take a look at this as sort of a long-term building process, because some people you may be able to get access to quicker, some people it may be a lot slower, but you've got to start somewhere. And what I like to do, and I have talked to a lot of influencers about this as well, like, how do you want people to interact with you? So this is what I have learned from talking to a lot of people about, and other really successful super networkers that are really plugged in, is, one, go like or favorite other people's social media pages, right? That's easy. Just go there and just do that, because they may not see that, but it'll start to add up. Then next, make some comments, right? People love comments, and comments are very few and far in between for most people. So it starts to make you stand out from other people. The third is the next level of interaction is write them a note, but only use periods and no questions in it. And here's why. When you write a note from someone to an influencer and you ask them a question, they're getting hundreds, could be thousands of emails in a day. If they feel guilty when they can't get back to you. So what happens is they associate you with the guilt. And then when you send another email on top of the one you sent, they look back at the other email and they're like, oh, I feel really bad. I didn't get back to them. And they don't want to answer the first one then. So now you've created a situation where they don't want to get back to you because they had no time before. And now they feel guilty. So they just delete it or never reply back. So in the first email to someone, what you write to someone is, say whatever you want. Say, I hope you're having a great day, blah, blah, blah. And then tell them, I really enjoy reading, listening, watching, whatever it is that you put on, and tell them what you watched and what you read, and then tell them what impact it had in your life, right? I mean, it could be whatever breakthrough. It doesn't have to be something like uber fantastic. It just could be anything that you want to put down. And then say something to them. You thank them and really appreciate, the time and effort they've taken to put out the content that they have. And then say thanks and then leave it, and you don't ask for a response, because then that's opening the door. On top of that, you could leave an iTunes review, an Amazon review, do a video review of a product and actually email them and saying, hey, I did a video review of what you did. And I just want to send it to you. Thanks. That's it. Right. You don't ask them if they like it. They don't ask them if you use it. Don't anything. Just period. It's no questions. So they can do whatever they want with it. They can use it or not, but they'll remember you took the effort. And then what you can do is then you can ask them a question on another email as you're engaging with them, saying, hey, I really appreciate it. Is there any way that I could spend, get on the phone for 15 minutes? And, I've got a couple of questions. I know you've been really successful. And I'd just love to ask you a few things. And I really appreciate it if you could. And I mean, that's it. And usually when people, you ask for 15 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes of people's time, they don't object because it's a very small increment. So you can get in front of a lot of people a lot quicker if you just do that. I mean, not everyone is going to. I mean, you're going to have to face it, right? But you can find ways in order to do that, and that's effective to do that as well. And then you can also find out where are they going, right? Do they belong to any charity organizations? Where do they hang out? And then you can go and meet them there and say hi. And there's nothing wrong with that. You have to have a target and a strategy and get through them. Or potentially who in your network knows that person, and they can actually help you bridge that gap as well. You know, I read an article that Keith Ferrazzi, who's a well-known author and networking person, met a president, and I can't remember who it is. I think it's Bill Clinton, but I could be wrong. And he found that one of his press secretary or one of their aides that he knew someone through, not that well, he reached out and started to build a relationship with that person. And then he told that person, I'd love to meet the president. And he got introduced and met him through that. So there's many ways to skin a cat, but you got to get creative. You got to get aggressive, and you have to have a plan and execute it. And then you can be really successful.
Definitely. And you can even use some of the tips you mentioned earlier too about, you know, basically like the 5 to 7 people that you reach out to probably, you know, won't respond back or won't be interested in working with you. But it's the 2 or 3 that you actually connect with that matter. And it is a numbers game, and you just kind of have to take that first step and really push yourself into doing it.
Yeah. And the other thing too, is you may have to make a financial investment, right? You may have to buy something. You know, one of the things I've noticed lately that more and more people are doing on their webinars to sell their products is they're offering like a free session and they only offer like 5 of them. Mm-hmm. Or they'll offer some exclusive opportunity to meet them in person, then take it, right? So like, listen, that's one thing when people are selling product webinars, I actually tell clients and friends to listen to it, or at least listen to the end, the worst case, because there may be some bonus on that call that you can actually get access to that person if you buy right away. So by purchasing in the moment, you can actually get it. So that's like another way that I've seen. And that's invaluable, because that's a great way to build a relationship, because that person will appreciate the fact that you push the button first and you'll stand out and you'll have the ability to access and interact with them, and they'll really appreciate that.
Great. And I really like what you said earlier too about, you know, being a leader and kind of inviting everybody and being the person who kind of sets everything up as far as like the social gatherings and everything. It just kind of gives you that social proof, and also like that whole alpha male concept, like you're the guy they go to, you're the guy setting everything up, and it just makes you look so much better too.
And it's great for people that are socially awkward or introverted, because other people start viewing you as something different. So even if you don't have the most confidence, you'll get more confident because they'll make you feel that way. So it's actually reinforcement of it. So it actually helps people who are actually more introverted and more socially awkward to be in that situation, because that also helps you. And the other thing about it too, when you lead people somewhere and you direct them, then you can schedule your time much more effectively. I mean, I have people I know here that go out all the time. Their networks are really small. I go out a lot, but I also do it very targeted. Like I'll go out on Thursday and I'll go out to a happy hour sometimes from like 6 to 8 p.m. for a charity, and I'll be home at like 8:30. And I don't stay out all night long. You don't need to. That's a very inefficient way to consistently spend your time. It's not about, you know, how much time you spend. It's the quality of the time that you're spending. So you need to be very efficient in how you're spending your time and what you're doing with it. And, you know, the other good thing is you can set up dinners, brunches, I mean, you know, going out on Sunday. I mean, there's so many things. And all you got to do is, you know, what I did for people early on was I literally would go and cut and paste text messages to people. And I'd put their first name in there to make it a little bit more personal. And I'd literally do that. I'd send it out to like 20 or 30 people. And when I first moved here, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 people would show up. But as people got to know me better, more and more people showed up. And it was a really effective way of doing it. But I didn't look at it saying, oh, geez, I sent 20 or 30 messages out and only 2 or 3 people showed up. Man, that's really bad. I thought focus on the 2 or 3 people that did. And I had a great time. And I introduced them to other people. And it got me out of my shell. Because one of the other things to think about when you do something like that, you get in a contribution mindset. And when you're in a contribution mindset, you're willing to step in uncertainty and take risks you normally wouldn't do. Right. And here's a great example. So if there was a burning building, and I asked this question to, you know, thousands of people, if there's a burning building and there's $1 million, $5 million, $10 million in there, but you only have a 50-50 chance of, you know, making it out alive, most people either hesitate before they say yes or they say no. But if I say to them, the people you love the most are in that burning building and they will die unless you go in, and you only have a 50-50 chance to make it out alive, everyone says yes. Because when you're contributing to other people, you get out of your head. So when you invite these people out to an event, your social anxiety goes down because you're focusing on them. Are they having a good time? Should I introduce them to some other people that I don't even know, right? So then you're not focused on yourself, like, am I dressing well? Am I, you know, saying smart things? And all the other things that happen when social anxiety creeps up. So that also helps people who are more introverted and also socially awkward to really gain social skills and really help them create the evidence they need.
That's a great point, man. Jason, so many awesome and great tips. And, you know, we covered a lot this last hour. So it's really been really great and fun. And I know our audience are really going to love this one. Is there any final takeaway message or tip or point you'd like to leave our audience, a kind of a, you know, send-off message?
No one had a tombstone that said they worked a good life, right? It's all about the relationships and the quality of the relationships that you have. So you need to invest in yourself first and then invest in other people. And you have to practice these skill sets and build them out and meet a lot of people. And if you do that, your life is going to go to levels you never thought were possible. And, you know, because everything in life we accomplish is with or through other people. It's not by ourselves. So keep that in mind and really make relationship building personally and professionally, you know, a priority in your day-to-day activities.
Thanks so much, Jason. It's really been a great interview with you, and I know our audience is really going to love this one. Thanks so much for coming on our show today, man, and hope to talk to you soon. Take care.
Yep, thanks.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.